Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. All right. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm lead pastor here. Yes. And you guys are going to make it look like I just say my name so you'll cheer. I really don't. I do it in both services. Hey, we're honored you're here today, especially if you are a guest. Thanks for being with us. And I was thinking, getting ready for today, and I want to invite you to think back for a moment. And you don't really know where I'm going, so you don't know where to think yet, so just get ready to think. I want you to think about pivotal moments in your life. And here's what I mean. Think back on a moment now that you would say, man, that moment changed everything. But at the time, you had no idea. While you're thinking, I'll tell you two of mine. When I was finishing my freshman year of college, I went to the University of South Carolina. Not today. Talk about a pivotal moment. Like, I could have picked any team. Anyway, I was finishing my freshman year, and at that time, I was attending Shandon Baptist Church. I say attending because for the first time in my life that I can remember, I did not attend church every single Sunday. Sometimes my freshman year of college, sorry, Mom, I slept in. Now, I need to explain. That was the extent of my college rebellion. I didn't go to a party in college. I didn't drink in college. That's not a joke. I really didn't. But from time to time, I'd be tired, and I would be naughty and sleep in and not go to church. So, and honestly, it's never happened. Never happened since. Near the end of my freshman year, I was pretty engaged, actually. I would go to church, and our college environment was on Sunday mornings. If you grew up in church, you know we had a horrible name for small groups on Sunday mornings. We called them Sunday school. Like, let's take the thing we all hate and can't wait to get out of, school, and let's put it on Sunday with Jesus. But that's what we did. And so I went to Sunday school with our college environment. And our college pastor, a guy named Steve Turner, and this was near the end of my freshman year, he was new. He had been there for about almost a year by this point. And he said, hey, we're starting something new. We're starting a student leadership council, and you can sign up, you can apply, because we want your input. We want to help you kind of shape our ministry and where we're going. And I was sitting there, and I was like, man, I want to do that. And then when they said you could sign up, I didn't sign up. I don't know why I didn't sign up, but I just didn't. And so about a week later, I was walking through Five Points during the day. If you're not familiar, Five Points is the place in town with all the bars that the college students go to. It was also where my barber was. It was during the day. I was walking to get a haircut during the day. It was sunny out. And so I was walking to get a haircut, and who comes driving down the street is Steve Turner, our college pastor. And for whatever reason, he pulls over. He says, hey, Trey, how you doing? I said, hey, Steve, good to see you, man. We start chatting for a minute, and he goes, hey, have you thought about joining the leadership team? I said, well, yes, I have. And he says, I think you should. And so I did. And that invitation changed my life. I went on to work. I went on to work at Shandon. It was the first place I worked and got paid very little for ministry. It's where I met my wife. I had graduated. She was in grad school. I mean, God changed everything because Steve Turner decided to pull his car over and invite me to take a step. The second story happened a few years later. By this time, Danielle and I are married, and we moved to Fort Worth, Texas, to go to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. People always ask, what are your roots? I'm a Baptist boy. I like to joke, I'm a recovering Baptist. If you find that funny, great. If you find that offensive, forget I said it, okay? It'll be fine. It'll be fine. We attended a church out there, First Baptist Church, Euless, which was just a small suburb there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we started attending Sunday school because we wanted to make friends. There was a young couple's Sunday school class. And the people who led it, the adults, their names were Jim and Jan Frankie. And we had been there about 4 or 5 months. I believe it was over Christmas break of our first year out in Texas. And Jim Frankie calls me on the phone. No idea why Jim's calling me. I say, hello. We begin chatting for a minute. And he goes, hey, we were thinking about you. We need to start a new Sunday school class, and we'd love for you to teach it. I was like, really? What's the curriculum? Oh, no, no curriculum. You can do whatever you want. You write it. And I was real excited until he said, it's probably going to be the one all the seminary students go to. I said, yes. Don't ever say yes to that. There is no hell on earth like having to write a Sunday school lesson each week that seminary students are going to sit in because they want to give you notes. Anyway, but I said yes, and I began teaching that Sunday school class in the young couples ministry. Well, the young couples ministry was led by a guy named Brandon Thomas. If you've been around Wellspring for a long time, you know Brandon because I ended up working for Brandon. He left First Baptist Euless and started a church called Keystone Church. That my wife and I were privileged to help start. And after 5 years there, Keystone sent us here to start Wellspring. Sorry, if you're new, I am prone to emotional outbursts. So, but I look back on those moments, on those pivotal moments, and I'm so overwhelmed with how little I had to do with those moments. I had nothing to do with those moments. Those moments are all because other people decided to invite me to do something. And I'm sure as I tell the stories, you're thinking of your own stories, your own steps, your own career paths, your own, maybe the person you know, maybe the person you're married to now, someone introduced you. Maybe you're in Myrtle Beach because someone offered you a job. I don't know, But I'm willing to bet in every single one of your lives, when you look back, there was this moment that at the time seemed insignificant, but you look back, it changed everything. And if you're honest, you can be overwhelmed with how little you had to do with that moment. And how grateful you are that those people invited you to step. See, I believe those pivotal moments were divine moments. And I believe what's been done for us is something God wants to do through us. The reason I tell you those stories is because as you wrap up this series, Your Next Step, I'm convinced what God wants us to take away from today is that sometimes our next step is to help someone take their next step. Sometimes what God wants to do in us is use us to help someone else take a step towards Him. Now, if today is your first time, again, welcome. We're glad you're here. We've been in this series now. This is week 5 of called Your Next Step. And if you missed any of it, then I'm going to encourage you to grab our app. It's a great way to stay connected. But also you can go back and you can see where we've been for the last few weeks, because this has been a series about how we follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't invite us to a one-time decision. He invites us to a lifetime of following Him, of choosing to do what He wants instead of what we want. Here's how we've been saying it for the entire series. We've been all agreeing that as Christians, here's what we're called to do, to live by this motto: I will deny myself in devotion to my Savior. Which means when Jesus wants me to do something and I don't want to do it, I do it anyway. Because He's God and I'm not. And He knows the future and I don't. And He sees things I don't. And He loves me and He's good. And so when He invites us to follow, we can. And for the last few weeks, we've talked about how to do this in very specific areas of our lives. We talked about it in our personal lives. We talked about it collectively as a church. And hopefully, in fact, we know many of you have taken next steps. And I hope that this series just spurs a lifetime of thinking of following Jesus as a journey and always asking, okay, what's our next step? And so as we close this chapter, as we close this series, it felt really important to me to talk about this one more crucial area of what it means to be a Christian. This idea that sometimes what God wants to do is use us to help someone else take their next step. Just like God used someone in your life, in my life, in all of our lives to help us take our next step. Now, I don't just believe this is true because I've experienced it. I believe this is true because as we read the scriptures, as we read the word of God that was recorded for us by men who lived it themselves, we see this throughout God's story. We see this theme of God using people to help other people take steps towards him, to help other people return back to him. And we see this no clearer than in a letter written by a guy named Paul. If you attend our church regularly, you know we talk about Paul a lot. We even one time had a softball team who called themselves a man named Paul. And they were terrible. I don't think they won a game. And I'm like, guys, you got to change your name. You're making us look bad. But we talk about Paul a lot because Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. Paul was a leader. Paul was a figure the Holy Spirit used to shape the church because Paul would write letters to churches to give them instructions on how to follow Jesus. And what we as Christians believe is that when Paul was writing those letters, God's Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul. And we can read these letters almost 2,000 years later, and it's like God is speaking directly to us. And in one of the letters Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he addresses this very topic. He basically unveils for them and us God's grand plan, which is once we've become Christians, he wants to use us to help other people not only become Christians, but to take their next steps towards him. So rather than me trying to convince you, I just want to take you to the letter. And I want to let Paul speak for himself because Paul can do it way better than I can. But my hope is that as we read this and we think about all the people that have played pivotal roles in our lives, that we'll leave here inspired and maybe challenged to begin to pass that favor on and to begin to play that role in other people's lives that was so pivotal in ours. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians. That's where we'll be, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If not, we're going to have it up here on the screen. And in verse 15, that's where we're going to start. Paul basically restates what we've been talking about this entire series. He builds the foundation of it, and then he moves forward. So he's basically, for our purposes, because of what we talked about for the last 4 weeks, here's what we should do. So here's how he summarizes what we talked about for the last 4 weeks. He says, he died for everyone, talking about Jesus. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. So in other words, Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life. When he sacrificed himself on the cross, that sacrifice was universal. That sacrifice was for everyone. He died for sin once for all time with an invitation. Hey, if you want to receive this new life, no longer live for yourself. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. This is the invitation. I will deny myself in devotion to my Savior. Why? Because he came and he died and he came back to life for me. And so Paul establishes the foundation of where we've been for the last 4 weeks. And then I love how Paul do this. Paul makes a point and then he immediately jumps to application. So he makes this point, if you've been around, what we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. And then Paul says, so. Other translations say, therefore. In other words, because this is true, because if you consider yourself a Christ follower, we've agreed we're going to deny ourselves in devotion to our Savior. Because of what Jesus did for us, because he came, because he died, because he came back to life, because of all these things, here's what I must do, you must do, we must do in light of what we've learned. And again, you know where we're going. We're going to, hey, we need to play the role of helping other people take their next steps. It's not a surprise. You know where we're going. But the way we get there is fascinating. Because that's where Paul's taking us. But before he gets there, he has to say something. And you might find it jarring. I know I do. But it's also very convicting because he says, hey, in light of all this that we know, in light of what we know Jesus has done for us, we must do something. And here's what we must do. He says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. He says, in light of everything Jesus has done for us, we have changed the way we think about other people. Now, I know none of you in this room have any problems with the way you think about other people. You're good people. But I have read some stories about people. Guys, they judge other people. Like, they judge other people for what they wear. They judge other people for, like, how often they cut their grass. Did you know this? They judge people for how they drive. You ever seen this? You ever heard of this? They judge people for what they think. Again, not you guys, but some people, like, they judge people because of where they're from. You know, especially we live in the South, and so if they are from north of us, sometimes people judge people for that. Or if you're from north of us, sometimes they judge people for being south of us, for how we talk, for what we think. Again, not you guys, but some people. They judge people, and they make snap judgments, and they take 0.5% of the information, and they make 100% of the decision. Again, not you guys. But clearly the Corinthians were. And Paul's admitting, I used to do it too. He said, but in light of everything we've learned, because I'm going to live in devotion to my Savior, I've had to stop evaluating other people from a human point of view. Why? Paul says. He says, at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, but how differently we know him now. And that's a really good point. Every one of us in this room, before we became a Christian, we thought of Jesus from a human point of view. We thought of him just like other people think of him, and we thought maybe he was a good dude, or maybe, you know, he said some nice things, or maybe you didn't believe in him at all. Maybe you thought he was made up. But somewhere along the way, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, something happened, and you don't quite talk about it this way, but here's what actually happened. You didn't change your mind. God changed your mind. And God allowed you to begin to see Jesus the way he sees Jesus. And all Paul is saying is, hey, if that's happened, and you are now denying yourself in devotion to your Savior, and again, we know where we're going. God wants to use us to help other people. The same transition that happened in our brains where we went from thinking of Jesus like we think of Jesus to thinking of Jesus how God thinks of Jesus. We also have to let God change the way we think about other people. Because the way I think about other people and you think about other people is from a human point of view, and we judge and we measure and we complain. Do you know how God thinks about other people? They're all someone his son died for. That's it. Everyone is someone God loves. Everyone is someone God has a plan for. Everyone is someone God has a next step for. And here's why it really matters that we think about it that way. Because the way we think about people, the way we judge people, it's really easy to decide, well, God doesn't have a next step for them. And even if he does, they're not interested. For example, maybe this week, maybe, you know, you've got a friend or a family member and you thought about maybe inviting them to church. And you didn't invite them because here's what we do. We think and we evaluate from our human point of view, and just, okay, we say no for them. You know, maybe you were going to text them this morning, but they're Gamecock fans, and you were like, never mind. This is when we need Jesus the most. But it's okay. You've done it. I've done it. We've all done it. We've been in a series about taking next steps. And maybe you have friends who, maybe they attend our church, but, you know, they haven't engaged at the level you have, and you've thought about, man, you should really come to our community group. Or, hey, you know, I'll volunteer in this area. You should really volunteer with me. I think it would be great. And you haven't asked because you pre-decided they'd say no. And here's what we never think about. And this isn't a judgment. It's true of just about all of us in the room. Here's why we miss it when we think about it from a human point of view. For the vast majority of us in this room, there was a time when other people would have looked at us and would have said no for us. They would have said, well, that person's not interested in church. That person's not interested in a group. That person's not interested in volunteering. And they probably would have been right, right? It's okay. You would not have been interested. But what changed? Someone invited you. Someone talked to you. Someone took a risk. Someone didn't evaluate you from a human point of view. Someone saw you as God saw you, as a person he had a perfect plan for, and said, you know what? I'm taking a risk. I'm going to invite. I'm going to invite them to sit with me. I'm going to invite them to serve with me. I'm going to invite them to a group. And that moment changed everything for you. And what Paul's saying is, hey, guys, if we want to be used how God wants us to be used, we have to remember what was done for us. And we have to remember the risk it took someone to invite us. And we have to stop evaluating others from a human lens and say, you know what? If God could reach me and God could change me, man, I bet he could change anybody. In fact, that's exactly what Paul says next. He says, guys, this is why this matters. It's because anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Do you know how you know this is true? Because you're anyone. You remember your life before Jesus, and you remember it now. And you're like, wow, it's better. It's not perfect. But if you'd have told me 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, whatever your story is, that on Labor Day weekend, I'd actually be in church. Like a holiday weekend, like everybody's got an excuse not to go. We live at the beach and I go to church. You know what happened? Anyone who belongs to Christ becomes a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun in you. But we have a really bad habit of not extending the courtesy to other people that was extended to us. And it's because we evaluate them from a human point of view. And so Paul says, hey, guys, let's not do that anymore. We serve a God who raises the dead. And again, this was easy for Paul. Before Paul became a Christian, he was essentially a terrorist. He went around attacking Christians, arresting them, overseeing their execution because he thought they were a cult and he was trying to eradicate them. So for anyone to write, you become a new person in Jesus, Paul was like, I became a new person in Jesus. Paul had to work for the first few months to convince Christians he was a real Christian. They were scared of him. And so this is real to Paul. He gets it. He's like, guys, if we wouldn't play the role we've been called to play, we got to see people as God sees people. And we got to believe that anyone can become a new person. Why? He explains. Because all of this is a gift from God. He did this. We didn't ask for this. We didn't earn it. It's a gift from God. And he brought us back to himself through Christ. And watch this. God has now given us this task of reconciling people to him. Reconciling simply means bringing back together. God's been trying to reconcile humanity and himself ever since the fall in the garden. And the rescue mission culminated in his son's death, burial, and resurrection. The path to reconciliation was complete. Through faith in Jesus, our sins could be forgiven, and we could begin the reconciliation process of turning back to our Heavenly Father. It is not a one-time process. It is a moment by moment, day by day, because every choice we make is to turn from our old self back to Jesus. So it's a process of reconciliation that will not be complete on earth, but will be fully and finally completed in eternity with our Heavenly Father. When we return back to that perfect relationship he intended us for us to have with him when he created us. That's a gift we get. We get to spend the rest of our lives stepping back, bringing different parts of our life back to Jesus, letting him clean us and change us and heal us from the inside out. And what Paul's saying is, hey guys, it's not just a gift. If you've received the gift, you have a job to do. You have a task. And that task is to help other people reconcile as well. How do I know? Because that's what Paul says. He says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not just my sin and your sin. The world's sin. No longer counting people's sin against them. And watch this. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. It's not just life-changing for us. It's a message he expects us to share. But we'll never do it if we continue to evaluate humans from a human point of view, because we'll always come up with a reason to say no for them. And the only reason we're here is because someone didn't say no for us. So Paul says, hey, let's take a better approach. Let's believe what Jesus says about us. And let's believe everyone is someone he loves. And then he comes back to his favorite word, so. Therefore, because everything I've said is true, Paul is about to give us a new assignment. A new title for some of us today. But a title that applies to every single one of us who have chosen to deny ourselves in devotion to our Savior. Because this is true. Because God wants to reconcile the world. Because he's given us this message. Because he's given us this task. Here's the title. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. Did you know that? Did you know that Paul, because every one of us in this room who call ourselves Christians, an ambassador of Jesus, a representative of Jesus, someone who speaks on his behalf. Think about in geopolitical stuff on earth. What do ambassadors of the United States do? They go to foreign countries, they set up an embassy, and ultimately what's their job? Their job is to speak on behalf of our government and whoever's in charge at the time and convince whatever country they're in, let's just be clear, to do what we want them to do. That's the job on earth. God would say, pretty good description. If you follow me, my plan for you is not only that you follow me, that you surrender to me, but that you also see your life as an opportunity to speak into the lives of others, to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors and your coworkers. And anytime you get a chance, you help them do what I want them to do. Because every step towards God and his plan is a step towards better. That's why he calls us ambassadors. In fact, here's what he says. He says, we're Christ's ambassadors. He says, God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You see now why it's crucial we stop thinking about other people the way we think about other people, and we begin thinking about other people the way God thinks about other people, because the whole plan is to speak through us. and to make an appeal through us. And that sounds foreign. That sounds overwhelming. That sounds scary until you stop for 1 minute and realize someone did this for you. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it was a roommate. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was a neighbor. I don't know. But someone was in your life and God spoke through them and they pleaded, come back to God. Take a step. Reconcile. Maybe it was reconcile your life and you came back to church and you gave your life to him. Maybe it was simply another step. Hey, you really should join our community group. It's fantastic. Maybe it was a step to use your gift and talents for his pleasure. And you were like, they were like, man, you know, I know you've tried volunteering before. You should join our team. It's really fun. You'll love it. And they did. They spoke, they pled, you stepped, and it changed you. And what Paul is saying is that's how it's supposed to work. And if it's been done for you, Jesus now wants to do it through you. Which means we embrace this truth. Sometimes our next step is to help someone else take their next step. Do you know how grateful I am that Steve Turner didn't say no for me? A punk college kid that needed a haircut. He could have just drove on past, but he didn't. He stopped his car and had to find a place to park in Five Points, which is not easy. It would have been so easy for him to say no for me, but something in him said, this is my step of obedience to ask this punk to serve at my church. Same with Jim Frank. I don't know why he asked me to do that. But I still remember where I was when I got the call. Because it changed my life. I could probably take you to the exact spot in Five Points where I was standing when Steve asked me. And here's what I know about you. You all have a similar story. Because someone chose not to see you the way other humans saw you. They saw the potential God put in you. And they decided to be an ambassador. And they spoke on his behalf. And you came back to God. So what would happen if we left here today with the picture in our minds that God wants to use us? Part of our journey of obedience is to help other people take their next step. I know you're thinking, how? When? Well, you heard it at the beginning. We are starting a brand new series next week that we're calling Under Pressure. Now, this is a series about learning how to thrive in trials. Wrestling with questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? Where is God in this moment? Is God really good? I would assume, even as I describe it, faces are popping in your mind. People you know in your life, friends, family, neighbors, coworkers. We were just talking about this last week. Yeah. Because God wants to move through you to plead, come back to God. So the challenge is what you think about them from a human point of view or from God's point of view. Will you say no on their behalf? Or will you, at some point this week, invite them to come sit with you next week? In fact, if you want to, you can get your cell phone out right now or will not be offended. And text them. Say, hey, we're starting a new series. I think you'd love it. Join me. Now look, they'll probably say no. Statistics tells us that you got to ask 6 or 7 times before they say yes. So if you start today and you ask every day till next Sunday, they'll say yes next Sunday. I mean, that's just science. Or maybe... you know, your heart is more towards the people you know at our church and your friends, but for whatever reason, you've been trying to get them into your community group and they just keep saying no. Why don't you ask them to join again? Why don't you invite them to volunteer with you? Why don't you challenge them to take a step? See, we know it's true. Sometimes our next step is to help someone take their next step. I don't know who the Holy Spirit's bringing to your mind right now, but you do. Reach out this week. Have a conversation. They might say no. You probably said no the first time. But it's okay. You know, another thing I want to challenge you to do, as we were talking today, if you did think of a pivotal moment and you did think of someone who invited you to take a step, would you text them this week and say thank you? Just tell them, say, hey, you may not even remember this, but when you asked me to do that, it changed my life, and I thank you. I appreciate you for being obedient. Thank you for being one of Christ's ambassadors because you helped me take a step back towards God. And then, once you're thankful that someone else played that role, trust God enough to lead you to get to play that role in someone else's life. Who knows? As a result of your obedience this week, there may be someone else 5, 10, 20 years from now who looks back on this week, on your invitation, and says, man, that changed everything. And I had nothing to do with it. They just asked. And I said yes. And I'm eternally grateful. We have no idea what God wants to use us to do. All I know is He tells me it is infinitely more than I could ask or imagine. He wants to use you as His ambassadors. He wants to use you this week to plead with people to come back to God. So my prayer is simple. My prayer is you'll have clarity and wisdom. Who should I ask? How should I ask? And my prayer is you'll have courage. Courage to step. Courage to trust. Courage to play your role in God's story. And take your next step this week to help someone else take theirs. Let me pray for you. God, we love you so much, and God, we're so grateful that you took the first step. We are so grateful you sent your son. We are so grateful that he paid the price for our sin and for our mistakes, and we are so grateful he invited us to follow. So Jesus, as we follow, as we deny ourselves in devotion to you, we ask you to open our eyes to see our friends, our family, our neighbors, and our coworkers as you see them. And that, Jesus, this week you will give us an opportunity to step towards you, to step in obedience by inviting them to take their next step. We love you and we thank you in advance for the pivotal moments, for the eternity-shifting moments that you have planned for this week. Father, give us the wisdom. Give us the clarity. Give us the courage to step into those moments so that we can help other people come back to you. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a great message and what a great series this has been. And remember, if you missed any part of this series and want to go back and check it out, you can do so in many ways. You can do so on our app, you can do so on our website or on YouTube. You can see all of our past messages. But we are excited about next week. We're excited about kicking off a brand new series called Under Pressure. And just like he said, remember, your next step might be to invite someone to join you next week. On your way out, we have some invite cards for you. Go by, grab an invite card, maybe if you've never done it before. Maybe somebody came to mind as we were talking today. Grab an invite card and say, hey, come join me at Wellspring next week. That might be your next step, and you never know That invitation could be life-changing for the person you're inviting. And we're all about life change here at Wellspring. We've seen God do some amazing things over these past several years. And we know as we continue to step in obedience, we'll continue to see God do some amazing things. And that's why every week we're excited for the opportunity to take a moment to give back a portion of what God has given us. Hey, Wellspring, it's time to give our offering. We come to this moment to celebrate because we get to give. We get to be a part of what God's doing. He has blessed us in so many ways, so we're excited to be able to bless others. And we never know what impact, we can't imagine what impact that is going to have in somebody else's life. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for who you are today, Lord. Thank you for putting people in our lives to spur us on, to help us take a step towards you. And may we be those same people to someone else. If there are people in our lives, Lord, that need to take a step towards you, help us to be the person to invite them to do so. And leave the rest to you, Lord, because we know you're going to do some amazing things. Thank you for this opportunity to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as the ushers come, don't forget, we have tables set up in the lobby. We'd love to have conversations with you about taking next steps. Next week is beach baptism. If you haven't taken a step towards baptism, we'd love to invite you to do that. Stop by and sign up today. Well, we've had an incredible day. Thank you so much for being here. We do have one more song to sing. So if you will, stand to your feet and let's celebrate all that God has done today.